One of the great questions is asked today regarding the Bible is, how much should we give to the Lord? You know, it's an interesting thing because we have many things being done in the name of religion, and I believe of all the things that could be said, there are varied ideas that are held by men, perhaps honestly, in raising money to carry on what is commonly termed as the work of the Lord. We on this broadcast are asking Bible questions and trying to give you a Bible answer. You know, the book teaches in 1 Peter 4:11 that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The answer that we give to any question must be, thus saith the Lord. No person has a right in the light of the Bible to take a position, but what that person can sustain that by the word of God. That's what it means, to speak as the oracles of God. As though we had literally contacted God and asked him about the question, just like we are in the broadcast today. How much should we give to the Lord? You know, I want to go to the teaching that's found in the 2 Corinthian epistle. Paul had a number of things to say to the church at Corinth regarding giving. And I want to go to the 8th chapter, and you may want to write these references down, because I hardly go to a community throughout the year where I'm preaching the gospel that someone doesn't ask a question about, well, how much should we give to the Lord? Let's notice what the condition of the mind must be as we give to the Lord. This is a vital subject, because a person can rob God, and certainly we don't want to rob anybody, and we do not want to rob God. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 12, it simply says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." So the giving must be based upon what we have, what we actually have earned, what we have gained. Now keep that point in mind. If you're following with your text open, go to the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and notice the, well, two verses here, the 6th and the 7th verses of 2 Corinthians 9. Paul says, "I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So our giving must be based, first of all, upon what we have. It must be based upon the idea that we will give to the Lord freely, indicating that as we give to the Lord freely, he understands this, and there's a promise here given to us that if we sow bountifully, we shall reap bountifully. And then every man according as he purposeth in his heart. And that's what I said as we begin this broadcast today. It is a condition of the mind, thinking sincerely, what can I give to the Lord and what does the Lord want me to give? So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. This indicates that it must be a free will offering. This indicates that it must be that which we are willing to give freely. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I don't believe there's going to be any problem in a person giving too much to the Lord, but the problem may come when an individual is either by his own thinking or maybe by the thinking of other people has to do certain things. I'm not trying to be hypercritical on the broadcast today, and I want to make it clear that if we make any statement that seems to cross what you believe on this subject, we are not doing this to be, well, a personal attack. We are not simply saying, well, you're wrong and I'm right. We're simply pointing to what the Bible teaches. We're giving a Bible answer. In the 1 Corinthian epistle, now keep this chapter in mind, chapter 16. So we have dealt with a reference or two from the 2 Corinthian epistle, chapter 8 and chapter 9. Now we're in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. And if you've attended the service of the Church of Christ, I know that you perhaps have heard 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 referred to at the time when the collection is taken. Here's what Paul says, beginning in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 16. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now, Paul was going to come and collect a bounty or a certain amount of money that they had to take the poor saints in Judea and perhaps other places. But the principle is here that their giving was to be upon the first day of the week, as they had actually laid by in store, as God had prospered them. See, this indicates that there would be thought again upon what we're going to give to the Lord. This was to be done upon the first day of the week. I believe perhaps during the same service that the disciples came to break bread, as we are told in Acts 20 and 7, remembering the Lord's death. It has been said that in the Lord's Supper we remember the death of Christ. In the giving, we follow what God has said to remember the needs of those who are about us. For one of the great things about giving is that we give to assist those who are in need. Galatians 6 and 10 says, "If we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." So the church has an obligation to assist those who are in need, such as the widows, such as the ill, and so on, all of those who individually are considered from the standpoint of need, and also for proclaiming the gospel. Paul mentioned, of course, about not muzzling the ox that treadeth out the grain. He also mentioned about the workman is worthy of his hire. And this is actually done from the prospering of the brethren in the congregation. Now, there are certain things, I believe, that you're going to find in conflict as you look about in the religious scene. And again, I want to make it clear that we're simply pointing out this in the light of what the Bible teaches. You see, there's nothing here in this teaching about tithing. I realize it's a tenth of one's income. It's taught in the Old Testament, but I'm talking about what the Holy Spirit brought in the New Testament. For me to tell you or anyone else that they must give a tenth of their income, I couldn't give a scripture in the teaching of the apostles' doctrine in this gospel that would actually sustain that. Now, I know there are people who are required, according to this teaching, to give more than a tenth of their income. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say that we have two families, and there's one family here that, well, this family has eight children, and I know of a case like this. The father is unable to work. The mother has a great responsibility trying to work and care for her children. Now, these people, in a period of time, let's say, make $1,000. Now, for them to be expected to give $100 of that $1,000 to the Lord, and they might try to do this, of course, is quite far-fetched. In fact, the church might have to help them. Maybe they could just give a small portion because they're just prospered a small portion. I'm not saying that God doesn't prosper us in all things, but I'm talking about the actual income that comes into their family circle. In the same community is another man and his wife who are both Christians, and in that time that this one family has made $1,000, this man and his wife have made $10,000. Now, according to the system of tithing, they would only be required to give $100, we might say. They've been able to make $1,000. They've made $10,000. The other family's made $1,000. So you see, the point is that this would not be an equality of giving. Paul talks about there being an equality of giving. He talks about people not being burdened. So the man who made $10,000 in that period of time had just he and his wife to care for. And to say that all he would be required to give to the Lord would be $1,000 is far-fetched. He might be able to give $2,000 or $3,000. And he might be able to help the man who just made the $1,000. So what are we saying? We're saying that in this equality of giving, we give as we are prospered. Now again, another practice I think that ought to be considered, and this is a practice of pledging. You see, it's accepted according to that a man hath. Remember that scripture in 2 Corinthians? How can you say in January of a certain year that you're going to give so much money to the Lord, to the church during the entire year, and you pledge that? Now, your yea is to be yea, and your nay is to be nay. You see, this system was never set up. Well, someone said, where did this idea of pledging, where did this idea of having different ways to raise money, where did this come from? Well, unfortunately, it came from man. And I believe what happens a lot of times, and people get themselves into a bind on this, the church obligates itself. It has so many different things to engage in. And, you know, I mentioned on one broadcast that a man checked into this, and he found that the majority of things the congregation was doing were non-essential to people's salvation. It just simply had to do with social things. The church can become a social playhouse rather than a spiritual prayer house, as the term might be used. So what the point is, these things have come about by man. The church has a budget. We got to raise so much money every week. It just becomes like a business, see? And it looks as though the thing's going to go broke if they don't raise so much money. So they put down on a bulletin or something else, well, here's the budget for this week. Now, I know these people may be trying to do things decently in order. But you know, the Lord's plan is something that's outstanding. And these disciples came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. Also on the first day of the week, they, as individuals, had laid by in store, and they gave to the Lord as he had prospered them. Someone says, well, how do people do this? I don't know how other people do it. I know that a lot of people consider that their income is going to be somewhat within a certain range, and they realize that sometimes the Lord has blessed them maybe with other things, and they're able to give more to the work of the Lord. And I've always found that under the system of the Lord, that if there is a need facing the congregation, they'll try to rise and meet it. I could tell you, if you were interested in personal conversation or writing to you, how that some congregations of the Church of Christ that I know have done things in giving that would astonish you. Maybe you have the same example in other churches, but the point I'm trying to emphasize is that we try to follow exactly what the Bible teaches. Now, it's the Bible that's right. It's not looking at us and saying we're right and everybody else is wrong, but it's the Bible's right. Now, who doesn't want to do the right thing? And I want to say that we suggest that you investigate this subject of giving as far as the Church of Christ is concerned. And your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ invite you to do this. They invite you to their services. And we trust that you'll tell a friend or neighbor about this broadcast. And if you have questions about giving, feel free to send them in. We'll try to handle them with Bible. Be with us next time as we continue on with Bible questions and Bible answers.